church, let's just close our eyes and lift our hands this morning. We do declare in this place that the cross has the final word. All of the work that was done at that very time in history is here right now for each of us to be able to grab hold of that and to know the transforming work and power of God in our lives. Father, we come this morning and we are totally and absolutely reliant on you and your work. Lord, it's not my words, it's your words, Father. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come this very morning and let us know a touch of God, that where we're reaching out, where we're desperate, where we need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, that today would be the day that we confidently walk out knowing that God has spoken in my life. Father, we declare that you are Lord over this place, that every attitude that is not from you would be submitted to the word of God this morning. That, Father, like James says, we're not only going to be hearers of the word, but today, Father, we're going to be doers. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we declare your presence, your power, the transforming work of Jesus over our lives and over this place, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, church. You can be seated. Thank you, team. I love it, I love it, I love it. I'm going to tell you a secret about myself. It's not going to be a secret for much longer. I may regret saying it because I'm sure that people will bring it up at some stage. But there's something that I am amazing at. There's something that I am so fantastic at that it honestly, I blow myself away sometimes. I'm giving myself all the permission that I need today to be able to share with you how awesome I am at making excuses. You know, I can find an excuse for anything. When I was a teenager, I used to stay over at my girlfriend's house all the time because I knew that would give me an opportunity for an excuse to get out of coming to church on Sunday. So I'd say to Mum on the phone, "Oh, Mum, I don't feel very well. This is early on Sunday morning." And she'd say, "Come to church, we'll pray for you and you can be healed." "Oh, Mum, I'm too tired. Do you remember these things, Mum?" "I'm too tired. Well, you can sleep after church." I would come up with wonderful excuses. But do you know, this morning, I've got another secret. I'm not the only one. There are many of us here today in that place. If I could be bold and even say all of us in this place are actually fantastic at making excuses. Now, I've discovered to be a really good excuse maker, you need three things. The first one is you need a good lead-in. So it might be something like, "I'm sorry, but," or "I'm never usually like this. Don't blame me. This is a terrible excuse, but." So good lead-in. The second thing you need is a good perpetrator. "My mum said," or "the dog," or "the coffee," or "a guy with six fingers." But the next thing that we need is a good delaying factor. So, "slept in," "made me wait," "I can't function," "ate my homework." So let's put some of these together. "I'm sorry," there's a good lead in, but "the dog," who is the perpetrator, "ate my homework," is the delaying factor. Or maybe you might try this one over the next few weeks. "This is a terrible excuse, but I can't participate in the fast." Here's a good lead in for you. "Because I need my coffee," is the perpetrator, "at first thing in the morning, or I simply cannot function." And there is the delaying factor for you people, okay? But I've decided that in 2019, what I want to do is eliminate some excuses from my life. I want to be more on fire for God and passionate about Him than what I ever have in my whole entire life. I want to follow Jesus with everything that is within inside of me. I want to dig deeper into Him. I want a relationship with God that's going to grow and continue to become more exciting the longer that I'm a Christian. I want to love Him more and more every day. And to be able to do that, I need to eliminate some excuses in my life. Now, Romans 12, verse 11 says, "Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit, serve the Lord." I love it. It says in the NLV version, "Work for the Lord with a heart full of love for Him." In the NLT, "Work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically." In the ERV, "Be excited about serving Him." In the Message Bible, it says, "Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflamed, cheerfully expectant." So to sum it up, don't be slothful and lazy for God. Keep yourselves fueled and aflamed for Him. Be excited about serving Him, enthusiastically and cheerfully expectant with a heart full of love for Him. Enthusiasm, people, not excuses. Determination, not defenses. Actions, not apologies. Dedication, not dodging. Passion, not passing by. Daring, not ducking. Flame, not flutter in my life. Eliminating excuses. Do not be slothful in zeal. Fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. The Nelson's Topical Bible describes an excuse as an invalid reason for neglect of duty. Man, we can come up with some great excuses, can't we? Invalid reasons for neglect of duty of what God has called us to in our daily lives. Giving in to excuses that stop us from being zealous and enthusiastic and passionate for God. Zeal for God, people, not some lackadaisical, half-hearted, lazy, laid-back, excuse-riddled attitude for God. See, sometimes we've put off God's calling because we've come up with all these excuses in our life that sound totally and absolutely logical. They sound right. They sound fair, but you've given yourself permission to settle for less than God's best in your life. Excuses about shortcomings and insecurities through seemingly justifiable alibis. And you've declared these things over your life and that they can never change. We inhale the average status quo and we exhale excuses. We can get stuck in a rut because in the rut of excuses, actually, that we even make excuses for our excuses. And we compromise by making excuses and it quenches that zeal for God in our life. We're too busy. We're too lazy. We're too fat. We're too skinny. We're too beautiful, we're too ugly, we're too good, we're too bad, we're too short, we're too tall. We haven't got enough money, we've got too much money. We're too young, we're too old, and the excuses keep on coming. Maybe actually we might have an excuse-free Sunday one day. And maybe what we might do, because it's too early or it's too late, so we're just going to put on multiple services in one day. It's too loud, so we're going to provide earplugs at the door. It's too soft for other people, so we'll give you hearing aids. It's too hot, so we'll supply fans on the seat. It's too cold. Mitch, can you please get the ushers to hand out blankets? Simon, it's too boring sometimes. We need livelier music, but then we're too Pentecostal and we need more hymns, people. I mean, Sunday is my only day to be able to sleep in. we might have some beds available in the parents' room. And our excuses why we won't serve Jesus fully just keep rolling in, don't they? I'm not spiritual enough. I haven't been a Christian for long enough. I don't know how. I'm not good at that. I'm not chosen. I'm not called. And then there's, for some Christians, the biggest excuse of all, I have to pray about it. Of course, some people are single and others are married and they have kids. Then there's work to do. There's school. There's uni. And I haven't got enough time for Jesus. My shows are on TV. Someone's waiting for me to play Xbox online. I need a job. I'm sick. I'm too scared. I'm not prepared, don't have the skill, I'm not bold enough, I'm too shy, I'm tired, or I am retired. Well, actually, sometimes we just can't be bothered. And we sound like the sluggard out of Proverbs who says, "There's a lion outside, I shall be killed in the streets." Here's the thing, we're all in good company when it comes to making excuses. The Bible is littered with people who were awesome at making excuses because it's filled with people just like us. Excuse making has been a habit through all ages, throughout all time, and among all people. We have Esther in the Bible, and she had an excuse that she was afraid. Esther's a Jewish orphan girl who suddenly is chosen to get married to the king of Persia. Then the king decides that he wants to annihilate all of the Jewish people, all of God's people. And the king actually didn't know that Esther was a Jew and that she had faith in God. Esther's cousin Mordecai sends a servant to inform her of the king's plans. And this is Esther's response back to her cousin Mordecai. Esther chapter 4. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to go to Mordecai and say, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's province know that if any man or woman go inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live. But as for me," she says, "I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. Esther was afraid, rightfully so. She could have actually lost her life in approaching the king to ask to let the people go. She's in a difficult place. Fear, though, for all of us, is a very complicated emotion. It's very powerful in our lives. It's a motivating excuse for far too many things. It can move us, or it can be debilitating and at times paralyze us, depending on how we choose to approach it. Our minds are skilled at creating worst case scenarios." Charles Spurgeon said, "Satan is always ready to help men with excuses. If you will fire the gun, Satan will always keep you supplied with ammunition. When he thinks that the truth is about to come home to you, if you cannot frame an excuse, he'll do it for you." Yeah. Esther did not give the enemy any grounds for an excuse. She didn't give him ammunition. There was a greater purpose for the Jews and ultimately for the whole gospel in that very moment of time. She took the challenge face on, and because of her actions and her trust in God, the Jewish people were saved, and we get to hear the gospel today. Don't let the excuse of "I'm afraid" outweigh your zeal and passion for God. Psalm 43:1 says, "Now this is what the Lord says. He created you, people of Jacob. He formed you, people of Israel." He says, don't be what? Afraid. "Because I have saved you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." Did you know that do not be afraid is the most commonly repeated command in the Bible. It's not do not lie, do not steal, do not cheat, do not commit murder. It's do not be afraid. John 14, 27, and a lot of us know this passage, but it's so beautiful. And it says, Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says, I leave you peace. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world does. So don't let your hearts be troubled or afraid. This peace, do you know, doesn't mean that we're not going to have total absence, though, of fear in our life. We have a peace, though, that we can trust upon, that has been given to us, in which we need not fear anything from this present time or the future because of the secure love of God that we can rest in. God could be asking you to talk to your neighbor about him. God could be asking you to start an alpha course like Jeff and Misha have just done in this last week. He could be asking you to go and visit the boys who are in Cobham with Westcare, or he could be asking you to lead a connect group. God's invitation for each of us is to serve him, but undoubtedly it can create some anxiety and some fear in us because it means leaving this comfortable place that we can often sit in and venturing into unfamiliar and unknown territory. Let our zeal for God overshadow any fear that's in your life, any excuse of I'm afraid. Then we have another one who really was a bit of a master of excuses in the Bible. It's Moses. You know, Moses was filled with excuses for not wanting to go to Pharaoh and save the people of Israel. God could have actually rescued the Israelites without him. Let's make that point. But God chose to do it through Moses. And appearing to Moses in a burning bush, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. And he says, I have come down to deliver them. I think this is pretty funny, actually, because then he says to Moses, come, I'll send you. It's like, didn't you just say that you were coming down to do this? But come, Moses, I'm sending you. God had a plan to deliver his people, and the plan was Moses. How did Moses respond to this call? He immediately began to make excuses. I'm not adequate enough for the work, he says. Who am I? He felt totally inadequate, and actually rightfully so. Many of us, most of us, feel totally inadequate at times in the things that God is calling us to do. But see, God had a promise, and his promise to Moses was, but I will be with you. Then Moses says, but God, you know, I don't know enough. It says, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say, what's his name? What am I going to tell them? Moses was afraid that the Israelites might ask a question that he couldn't answer. Who's felt like that before? Lord, if they ask me something that's far too deep, I don't know what I'm going to answer these people. But God had a provision for that excuse from Moses, and he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you. Probably not the answer he was looking for. But then he said, oh, the people are not going to take me seriously. So in Exodus 4, he says, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. But God had already given to Moses a promise for this excuse. And he said, they will listen to what you say. Then he's got another one. He hasn't finished yet, okay? I'm no good with words. A legitimate excuse. Then Moses said to the Lord, but Lord, like God didn't know. I'm telling you, I'm not a good speaker. I have never been able to speak well. And that hasn't changed since I've started talking to you. I am still not a good speaker. You know that I speak slowly and don't use the best words. It's a legitimate excuse. I mean, I have to be honest. If I wanted to choose, a communicator to be the chief communicator for God, you're probably not going to choose Moses. But God's ways are not my ways. God's ways are not Moses' ways. And God's ways are not your ways. God's promise to this excuse was, so go, I will be with you when you speak. I will give you the words to say. For every excuse that Moses had, God had a promise and he had a provision for every excuse. But then here's the real clincher from Moses. Actually, it was, I'm not willing. He says, my Lord, after God gives him provision and promise for every excuse, he says, my Lord, I beg you to send someone else, not me. It was not really an excuse, but it revealed the real issue. Having run out of excuses, Moses revealed that the heart of the problem was a problem of the heart. Excuses are more often than not matters of the heart for all of us. Jonah, though, had a big issue with matters of the heart. He had the boldest excuse of them all. Most of us know the story, possibly from children's church, about Jonah. We know that God asks him to go to Nineveh and to preach to the people there, but he runs away and he jumps, there's a storm and he jumps ship and, gets swallowed by a fish for 3 days. And then he gets spat out and so he decides to repent and, okay, God, I'll go and do what you've asked. Jonah's excuse, though, for running wasn't because he was afraid. It wasn't because he felt that he was inadequate for the task, like Moses, or that he didn't know enough. It wasn't that he was worried because people wouldn't take him seriously. It wasn't because he wasn't good with words or that he wasn't even willing. Listen to this in-your-face excuse from Jonah after the people of Nineveh repent. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, the fact that the people repented and God didn't destroy them. And he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You were eager to turn back from destroying the people. Just kill me now. Lord, I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predict will not happen. Wow. Jonah was pretty cheesed off. Those people, they are filthy, rotten sinners and they deserve to be destroyed. But no, you're a God who's full of compassion. You're full of mercy, and I knew it. I knew you wouldn't destroy them, and I'm really cheesed off about it. You may as well kill me. Now, I'm sure that none of us here have that type of heart attitude. But what it does reveal to all of us, out of 2 Corinthians, the Bible tells us, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. You may disguise excuses in lots of ways, but the fact is we all need to eliminate excuses. Excuses begin to destroy our zeal for God. There's always an excuse if we're looking for one. Have zeal for God in your workplace. Have zeal for God at school and at uni and be passionate about Him at home. Zeal for God with our family, with our friends, with strangers, and even with our enemies. Peel back those layers of excuses that are holding you back from God's very best in your life. Are you still stalling Maybe you're even running out of good excuses, because we all have them. Will you allow them to get in the road of what God wants to do through your life for His glory and for others? Abraham was old. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was poor. Samson was codependent. Rahab was immoral. David had an affair and all kinds of family problems. Elijah was suicidal and burnt out. Jeremiah was young and depressed. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Jonah was reluctant. Naomi was a widow. John the Baptist was eccentric, people, to say the least. Peter was impulsive and hot-tempered. Martha, well, we all know she worried a lot. The Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. Zacchaeus, he was totally unpopular. Thomas was full of doubts. Paul had poor health and was a murderer. Timothy was timid. This is quite a variety of misfits. And I'm pretty sure that most of us are covered there somewhere in that list. But do you know, we want to use that zeal for God in our life for His plans and for His purposes. And it means that we need to eliminate some excuses. I'll just ask the team to come up now, please. If we want our families to know God's salvation, God wants us to have something to do with it. If we want to see this place filled on a Sunday so that people can experience the presence of God together, God wants us to have something to do with it. If we want to see revival in our families and with our friends, in our homes, in our city, in our nation, and in our world, God wants us to have something to do with the church. Romans 12:11 again, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, and serve the Lord. I don't know if you could possibly have any more excuses left after today. I don't know if I could. We could possibly still work at finding some more. But now, are you ready to answer the call like Isaiah did? In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, then Isaiah says, I heard the Lord's voice saying, who can I send? Who will go for us? So I said, here I am, send me. I'll just ask everyone to close their eyes. Lord, I know I'm standing here, Father, confessing to my own excuses that I use. I know, God, for each of us, there's excuses that we use for so many things in our life. But Father, I pray that this year, that 2019, that we would take hold of some of those excuses that we have used year after year, and in the face of them, make decisions to be zealous for God, passionate for God, and to lay aside those excuses. Holy Spirit, I know that you're here in this place. I know your presence right now is touching people's hearts. And people have made legitimate excuses. People have come up with excuses to put up barriers to be able to protect themselves, because there's been failures, there's been issues, and times when they've been hurt. And Lord, we recognize those things today as well. But God, I ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, even right now, that today, that where we've made excuses for particular things that have sapped us of the zeal of God, stopped us from having the best with you, Lord, I pray that you would bring promise and that you would bring provision to answer those excuses. That, Father, where we've been afraid and not been able to step out in faith, that we would know that we are with a God who commands us to not be afraid, that you bring peace into our heart, that your presence is with us all the time. God, where we feel totally inadequate, where you've called us to do something that, Father, there's so many other people that are better at it than me, God. They would be so much better than me. But God says, I've chosen you. His ways are not our ways, church. And Lord, I just pray that you would bring peace over every excuse in our life, that we would know your presence and the touch of heaven in those places in our heart. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. And just while everyone's eyes are closed, do you know, maybe you've made excuses for not becoming a Christian, not asking Jesus to come into your life, to not be a fully committed Christian to him. Maybe you've made that excuse in your life. And today, I'm going to ask you to eliminate that excuse from your life and make a decision for 2019 that you'll be a fully committed Christian before him. If that's you this morning and you want to make a decision to invite Jesus into your life, just put your hand up now and make a bold declaration to me so that I can see your hand. And you're saying, Sonia, today I'm eliminating excuses and I'm making a decision to invite Jesus into my life and to live for him every day. If that's you this morning, just raise your hand. Father, we thank you for your presence here. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Father, for your transforming power that comes and speaks into all of our lives. Lord, we receive this word. Help us to be doers of this word, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.